Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, my good friend, Alex Spears. This was by request. We had two, maybe three people really on board with having Alex coming back on the pod. So we got to give the people what they want. Welcome to the pod, Alex.
At least two.
I think there might have been a third like on a particular tweet.
That's enough.
That's it. Yep. Put them over the top. We're going to start with some Twitter questions, and then we'll dive into talking about Dion, basically. Let's see. First question from at RobSpencer02. What up, Robbie Spencer? What's the over-under on Russ triple-doubles next season? 24?
That sounds about right. He had 18 last year. I was looking up the historical stats. So the all-time record is Oscar Robertson in 61-62. He had 41. If Russell could get to 27, he'd be third all-time for triple-doubles in a season, which would be a dumb thing to celebrate. Basically, I think triple-double records are dumb.
Yeah.
Not only because everyone knows about, the pace, how when Oscar Robertson played, the pace was so much higher, and so, of course, he had more triple-doubles. But not only that, they didn't even record steals and blocks until 1973-74. So, Wilt Chamberlain or even Bill Russell probably would have had a ton of triple-doubles.
Right, and they were averaging, 40 rebounds a game, and it's, incomprehensible as to how that even happened.
Yeah. So, 24 sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting because a lot of assists went to Kevin Durant last year. And that's kind of the elephant in the room. Cause he was obviously a very good shot maker. And so obviously he's got good pick and roll partners, but kicking out to shooters and stuff is going to be a lot different this year. But obviously, I think he'll play a lot more minutes than he did last year. I think that this team will just require that because the talent level is just not as good. So I think that he'll play more, which will maybe, I think, boost to 24. I think that's a good number, maybe even more than that. So it'll be interesting. There's just a lot of things to unfold here.
Do you think he'll score more than 30 this year?
I don't.
In a single game.
Oh, in a single
game. Wow, you don't think... No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think he'll average more than 30.
Because I didn't realize... Because Chad had asked a question about, do you think he can average 46 combined points, rebound, and assists?
Yeah.
And so I was going back to look at that season 2 years ago. And he had actually averaged 47 that year. And he had 29.5 points, which I'd kind of forgotten. It sounds doable.
I think it's possible. That season was so jacked up too. It's hard to everybody wants to take that season and say that's exactly what this team is going to be like. But you have to remember there was so much going on. You had the whole Reggie Jackson debacle throughout the season where he didn't fit and they needed to trade him, but they waited till the trade deadline to do it. Durant was in and out. Russ was even in and out that season. Ibaka and Robertson missed a huge chunk of the season. So I tried to look at it and to see what you could actually use to compare it. And they had Scott Brooks is still the coach. It's hard to look at that season and say, this is our comparison. I just don't think that we have one yet. You know what I mean? We've seen him play without Durant some, but I just don't think that we have one. And playing with Oladipo, they've never had a guy like that specifically. There's just too many differences to make the comparison.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Next question from CG Stevens. Which Thunder player will Alex unabashedly hate next season?
So I feel like if I do hate someone, first of all, it has to occur organically. I'm not going to force myself to hate anyone. But it needs to be someone that the majority of the other Thunder fans like.
Okay. Do you think a majority of the Thunder fans like Dion Waiters, though?
Okay, the majority of Thunder fans on my timeline.
Okay.
Like.
Meaning me.
Yes, meaning you. So it can't, like, I'm not going to pick Singler. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
That's not very fun. Chad thought I was going to choose Ursan, but he doesn't realize that I have a fondness for Ursan going back to fantasy basketball.
This is true.
Because he used to be very good. He was like kind of one of the first like sleepers because he was a stretch four and you could get threes out of the power forward position.
He got lots of bounds, man, too,
and so many bounds. So here's my guess for who, this is just a guess.
Okay,
but Alex Abrines.
Oh, really? Okay.
What is? Because first of all, he stole my name.
Yeah, he did.
Right there. He's probably better looking than me.
His name is Alejandro. That's his official. That's
oh,
his
really?
Name on his birth certificate. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. But see, what I'm worried about Abrines is what if he comes over and his shot isn't falling?
Yeah.
You know, if he starts out slow, maybe he's only hitting like 30% of his threes. I could see myself getting very angry with him. And because we already know he's not going to defend, he's probably not going to be a very good defender. So if his shot isn't falling, I could just see myself turning on him very quick.
I find that hard to believe that he'll shoot 30%, but maybe he will. Maybe he will.
Well, I was looking back at his stats, and like last year was the first time he shot over 40% from three.
Yeah.
And before that, he was kind of like in the mid 30s. I was also looking back at Rudy Fernandez's first year,
because
he was 23 when he came over. He was 6'6", shooting guard. He had a really nice first year. He shot like 40% from three, had like 10-2-2. I think that would be like the peak of what Abrines could bring next year.
Yeah.
If he came over and did that, I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. If he could average 10 points a game off the bench, that would be amazing. I don't predict that he will.
Yeah, that'd be hard because Rudy was averaging like 24 minutes a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. It's so hard to predict what they're going to do with him. Because I just think it comes down to, like, who do they trust more, him or Anthony Morrow? And, like, my gut tells me that they're not going to trust Anthony Morrow, but I'm not for sure.
Yeah, it might take him a little while to kind of give him those big minutes.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of watching a bunch of film on Abrines right now, working on something for Daily Thunder. And I've watched one of his really bad games. And he's a guy that can really just kind of disappear on the offensive end sometimes. And that's kind of my fear. If like he's not directly involved in the offense, he can disappear a little bit. So that's so far, that's like my main concern with him on the offensive end. Defensively, I haven't seen anything that's just like so glaring, but like also he's not like guarding NBA guys.
Yeah.
He's super, super skinny. But he tries hard, and he seems to be in the right place most of the time. So he may not get killed, and he's got athleticism. Like that's where he's got an upper hand on Anthony Morrow, is that he's got athleticism, and he can get to the spots that he needs to. So I don't know. I still have no idea what to expect from him. But I can't believe that's the guy you're going to hate.
Well, what are my other choices?
So Bonus?
I don't know. I could just see it happening with Abrines if he comes over and isn't.
Mitch McGarry?
See, I'm over Mitch. I'm done with him. I'm done talking about him. I'm just sick of talking about Mitch McGarry.
Do you talk about him a lot?
Yeah. People on the street always coming up to me trying to talk about Mitch McGarry in Portland. He's not an asset. Leave me alone.
No, he's not. He's a negative asset right now for the Thunder. And he may not even be back. Who knows? Let's let this be the last question, and then we'll talk.
Hold on. I have to give you my top five fictional bets.
This is going to be the last question from @G_Diddy. What are your top five fictional basketball players of all time?
All right, I made a starting five.
Okay.
Point guard, Teen Wolf. Okay. Shooting guard, Air Bud. Small forward, from a movie that would never be made in 2016, Juana Man. Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about the movie Juana Man and went back and was reading about it. That movie is crazy.
It's a crazy movie.
It's about a guy who isn't good at basketball, so he dresses like a woman and joins a woman's basketball team. Not only that, and he helps them climb the ranks, it says here. Not only that, he falls in love with the team's manager, played by Vivica A. Fox, who thinks he's a woman.
Yep.
Obviously, he's not. There are a lot of issues with that film. So that's my small forward.
It's also completely disrespectful to the WNBA. Just like completely disregards it as a respectable league.
Yes, it is. Yes. And that movie only came out in like 2002. That wasn't that long ago. I think I saw that in the theaters too.
The early aughts were a weird time.
They were. Power forward. Pound. He's one of the Monstars. He's the one that stole Charles Barkley's powers.
Yep.
He was 16 of 16 in that game, 5 of 5 from 3.
I didn't realize they had names.
They do. Center. Bupkis.
Bupkis.
He's another Monstar. He took Patrick Ewing's talents. Okay. He was 15 of 16 in that game, 4 of 4 from 3. My coach, Eddie. A.K.A. Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg, yes. That's
I feel like
Where's Calvin Cambridge?
Who is that?
He's from Like Mike.
Oh, I never saw Like Mike.
Lil Bow Wow. Dude, you never saw Like Mike?
No, I didn't.
Come on. I've seen it so many times because anytime that there was a free day in my class when I taught in the public schools, I would only show Like Mike.
Why?
I don't know. It's the only DVD that I brought to school.
Oh, God. Calvin Cambridge actually probably would be a better option over a dog. So I might sub him. I could also bring him off the bench. He could be my sixth man.
There's also Lewis Scott from the movie Celtic Pride. Damon Wayans.
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh, for some reason, I was Googling in preparation for this question. I was Googling basketball movies. And I saw Celtic Pride, and for some reason in my head, I thought Larry Bird was actually, like, starred in that. I didn't click on it, because I was like, oh, that's Larry Bird. I can't choose him. I forgot. But now that you say Damon Wayans, now I remember.
Daniel Stern and Dan Aykroyd, man. It's the peak of their careers.
I was also Googling, because I was trying to get stats on some of these guys. which you can find for the Monstars, but I Googled Air Bud stats, and there's nothing.
I feel like he's more of a small forward.
Is he? All I could tell from the photo was that he can dunk.
He doesn't have range, though. I don't think he's not going to stretch the floor.
Oh, really? Okay. He's more of a Dwayne Wade type.
Yeah. Okay. He could play small forward. We've got to move on.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook.
Trade him.
What's your stab in the dark as to what is going to happen this summer?
I've been leaning towards trade the whole time, not like just personally, but what I think Presti is going to end up doing. I think if he's going to do it, it's going to happen before the season.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my guess.
Yeah. I think whatever's going to happen, it's got to happen before training camp.
Yeah, it has to. Please, just for us, just for the fans.
Yeah, I think that he's got to give an indication one way or another, because now is the time that he can get the best package for Russ.
Right.
You don't want to move on through the season. You want to give whoever's going to have him a full season, even if they give like a wink-wink deal that he's going to re-sign or whatever. Also give the team some time to give him an extension. If they're going to do that. But I don't know. I hear from some people that they think he's going to re-sign, but honestly, I don't believe anybody right now because of what happened with Kevin Durant. Like, I just don't believe anything. I won't believe anything until I see it happen. I think it does make some sense that he would stay here just because he'd have an opportunity for this to be his team. And actually, he has really good pick-and-roll partners already. I think that Sam Presti has proven himself to be a good GM. I think it's a good spot for him. But I do think that, like, obviously for like the next 3 years, it's obvious that you'd rather have Russell Westbrook. But then, like, when he's 30, 31, 32 years old, like, what kind of player is he going to be? I think that that's like a question that we really don't want to ask, but I think it's like a really important one. Like, is he going to decline like Wade did, like when his athleticism is gone? Like, is he going to have to like remake his game? Or is he like going to continue to be a freak? Like, history says that guys like that just, they decline. It's not like he's just going to be like out of the league, but you know, he has a limited window to be the player that he is. And you have to kind of weigh, like, is it worth it to have that window and to compete, or is it better to get everything you can for him now, in a rebuild, basically?
Yeah. And I'm sure you already know how I feel. And a lot of it comes from the fact that I'm a big fan of the Philadelphia 76ers, and that I've been a hinky apologist for a long time. But here's my argument for trading Westbrook. So tell me if you agree with or disagree with any of these things. I don't believe that the next great Thunder team will be built through free agency.
Agreed.
Now, it could, and it'd be nice, but we don't. We literally have no indication that that could be a possibility.
I just think it's like you have like a 2% chance that Blake Griffin's coming here next year.
Right.
Like I just don't. Honestly, I think he's probably going to stay with the Clippers, because they have like a legit shot to make the Western Conference Finals this year and then run the team back.
I actually, on a side note, I thought they actually had a kind of nice summer. Like, it wasn't a nice summer until they got all their minimum signings, but like getting Raymond Felton, Brandon Bass, and who was the other guy they got? Like, kind of like end of the bench guy.
I don't remember. All I'm thinking about is Wes Johnson and Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford. And
well, yeah, yeah, those guys.
The true bench mob. Yeah, I mean,
Maurice Spates. That's who I was thinking.
Oh yeah, yeah, they got Mo Spates.
Yeah, like that. Those are nice three real basketball players that they didn't have last year.
Felton's good. It's hard to imagine him being good or to think about him as a good basketball player. Like, but he's a legitimately good backup point guard, maybe the best backup in the league. Like, he's good.
And he's better than Austin Rivers.
He is. It doesn't take much, but he is.
Okay, so going back to this free agency thing. So I just think it's worth remembering for Thunder fans who, like, have these dreams of free agency that the Boston Celtics, who have won 17 NBA championships, before this summer, their best free agent signings were maybe Evan Turner or washed-up Shaq. Like, there's just some markets, and I think Oklahoma City is one of those markets that probably isn't going to attract big-time free agents.
Yeah.
And we have this random one now because of Blake Griffin, just because he was originally from here, and so people are getting excited. But anyway, so I don't think the next great Thunder team will be built through free agency. That means it's either going to be built through trades or the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that the Thunder can build through trades and build like an actual contender, you're essentially betting on Presti pulling off a reverse Harden trade, where he basically trades not a lot of assets or not a lot of significant assets and somehow ends up with like a top 10 player.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think this is going to happen, because there's so many other teams in the league right now who are better equipped to make this kind of trade, namely like Boston, Phoenix, Denver, and Philly. And,
yeah,
you know, Boston's been trying to make this exact type of trade for 3 years now, and they haven't had like any traction whatsoever. Like, we've never even, like, the DeMarcus Cousins rumors are like barely rumors.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a lot to hope for, especially when you start looking at the Thunder's assets right now. Like, their best assets are Adams and Oladipo, who are both probably going to need or probably going to get a max next summer. So I don't know how great of assets those necessarily are in a trade. And then you have Cameron Payne coming off foot surgery, Sabonis, who's a rookie, Abrines, who's a rookie on a nice contract, Cantor with his contract, and then they don't have their first rounder until 2020 to be able to trade, because their 2018 one is going to Utah. So I don't believe that they're going to somehow come up with some magical package to bring in like a DeMarcus Cousins, or like, I don't even know if the Thunder would want DeMarcus Cousins. Like, I would, but he doesn't seem like a Thunder organization type guy.
Yeah, I don't think that they would. Honestly, I don't know that they would do Adams for Boogie straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really don't think, if, and obviously that's not possible, but I just don't think that they would. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you just, like, the way that, like, you and I envision the trade market, like, sometimes just things happen. Like, I would have never guessed that the Thunder could have gotten what they did for Serge Ibaka at the draft. I just think that what Orlando gave up was ridiculous.
That's true, yeah.
So you just never know. And, I mean, you just never know who's going to be available. And I think Presti has a good reputation around the league, and a lot, he talks to a lot of different teams. So I don't know. It's hard for me to say that absolutely not for that one.
I'm not saying absolutely not. I just say that it's slim, mainly because there's other teams that are way better equipped to make that kind of trade.
Sure.
It's going to be hard for OKC to top another team if one of those random stars becomes available.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And yeah, and you just don't know. Like, you just never know, like, what Boston is doing. Like, I feel like they overvalue some of their assets, and they're just like, I don't know what they're waiting for.
Yeah, apparently they think Jay Crowder is untouchable, which I love Jay Crowder, and he's on a great contract, but
he's become incredibly overrated. Like, he's good. Like, he's a good player. You would want him on your team, but he's incredibly overrated. Like, it's kind of crazy that he's, like, untouchable in, like, a Kevin Love or DeMarcus Cousins trade. That's just, like, that's insanity.
And I also think it's insane when Boston fans act like, oh, no, we wouldn't want to give up a lot for Westbrook. Like, we can just get him in free agency. It's like, what have you been doing for 3 years? This is the exact type of player that you've been stockpiling assets for, and now you're just going to, like, pass it up because he's going to be a free agent next summer and think that he's going to suddenly want to come to Boston, even though we've, like, never heard of any idea of him wanting to go to Boston.
The fan trade ideas from opposing teams are hilarious. Like, there's the Denver trade that fans think is possible is Gallinari and Fareed for Westbrook. It's just like, what planet are you on? Like, the same thing with the Lakers. They think that they can get him for Clarkson and Randall. It's like, those are the two guys that we don't want. We'll take the rest of them.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Boston one doesn't include any picks. It's like, I've actually heard this rumor, like, people think it's legitimate. It does include a pick. The 2018 Nets pick, and then cap filler for Westbrook. And I'm just like,
the 18 pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all you get. And I'm just like, that is nuts. Like, there's just, like, I'd rather just hang on to Westbrook than, like, do any of those things.
And I should say that with all these ideas, like, yes, I think the ultimate best option might be to trade Westbrook, but that's obviously only if you're getting a really nice package coming back. I don't want to just get rid of Westbrook.
What's your favorite package?
It'd probably be with the Celtics. And I'd want to start with both Brooklyn picks.
Yeah.
17, 18. And then Jaylen Brown and another young guy.
What if it was Jaylen Brown?
I just don't know how they value their young guys. But, like, maybe even Terry Rozier. I know that sounds crazy, but he looked kind of good in summer league.
He had a good summer league, yeah.
I think you have to start with that. Obviously, the what you really want is that 2017 Brooklyn pick.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Jaylen Brown fan.
Nor am I.
But I don't know. I think, I don't know, like, comparing that to, like, the Russell Ingram idea.
Yeah.
It's tough because I don't feel like, I feel like the 2017 Brooklyn pick is the best asset of all those guys.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's tough. I don't think Brooklyn's going to be any good, but you also just don't know what that what it's going to be.
I know. I've heard people say that to me. I feel like they haven't gone and looked at their roster.
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. But you could still have the worst, you know,
right.
record yeah, in the league get, like, and wind up with like the fourth pick. Yeah. And then you're just kind of screwed. And then you like would have rather had Ingram and Russell.
Right.
So that's what's kind of scary about that. What do you think about the Lakers players? Like what would be the trade that you would want?
I would definitely want Russell and Ingram.
Yeah.
I heard like Bill Simmons, every time he brings up the Lakers trade idea, he ends up like giving the Thunder way more than I would even expect. He's always like, yeah, they would have to get Russell, Ingram, Randall, and probably another first. It's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the asking price to start with. I would rather have Larry Nance than Julius Randle.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like Randle at all.
I just don't think he's a fit with... I don't even know where he fits. Because he's a guy who needs the ball. He dribbles the heck out of the ball in the post. And like, there's just not a place for a guy like that in the league right now.
I might actually want Zubac.
Yeah.
More than Randall.
Yeah, I would too. Just out of like sheer, like I've heard decent things about him and I don't know much else.
Yes, exactly. you know? That's enough for me.
Yeah. But Larry, like if they could get Russell, Ingram, and Larry Nance.
That'd be so much fun.
You start Russell, Oladipo, Ingram, Nance, and Adams.
Ah, it's so much fun.
Like that's a freaking
blast.
That's a really fun young team, and they would really suck. And the Thunder would keep their pick.
Great pick.
And you add to that, and like who knows? Like Ingram. Well, I mean, like if he's Paul George, then like you have like a really that's a really good team. And if D'Angelo Russell's like a poor man's Dame or something. Like you've got a that's a squad. Like I don't know if they can compete for a championship, but that's a really good team. Like I feel like the Lakers package is really intriguing just because they have the pieces in place already. And if Boston had better players, I just hate almost all of their young players.
Yeah, and when I see people like coming up with ideas that would include like Avery Bradley or even Jay Crowder. At that point, it's like, why? What's the point of bringing in those guys? We're not going to be good for a couple of years anyways.
If they would have taken Chris Dunn.
Yeah, I would be very excited about
that. I think that would be a more intriguing package. I don't know what to think about Jaylen Brown. I just really don't. I think that they reached for him at three. His statistical translations are just god-awful. To the NBA, and maybe those are just maybe we should throw those out. But you know, history says that you should not, and that most of those guys, are not good. And it's just kind of scary whenever you're trying to acquire something for Russell Westbrook. We've gone over this with the Harden trade. Like that Raptors pick was supposed to be very good. It was not supposed to be the 12th pick. It was supposed to be like the, you know, I think it was 1 through 3 protected. So like people thought it was going to be like 5, 6, 7. And it just wasn't. And I bear in mind that the Raptors ended up being, had a much better roster than what this Nets team is. But still, like I don't know. Maybe Jeremy Lin goes crazy. I don't know.
Right. Now, the alternative scenario, let's say they keep Westbrook. I just want people to be aware of the fact that next summer, let's say they keep Westbrook, he signs an extension. Next summer, they're going to have to give Adams the max.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to give Oladipo the max or close to it.
Yeah.
And you have Cantor. So you have this core of Westbrook, Adams, Oladipo, and Cantor now for at least the next 2 years, and you're already close to like $90 million.
Right.
And like that's your team.
That's the team.
And I'm kind of down on this team going into the year, or I thought I was, but then I saw you guys retweet that ESPN predictions, it was like 44 wins and the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, actually, I kind of agree with that. Like, yeah. In my head, they're like a borderline playoff team. You know, 44 wins could be like three games out of the ninth spot.
Yeah. I mean,
it could be that close because there's a lot of teams in the West who should be like right around that area.
Yeah, there's a lot of really mediocre West teams.
Yeah, I mean, like with Houston and the Pelicans, and
yeah.
there's just like a bunch of teams in that range.
Yeah,
Dallas is another one. So yeah, I actually kind of I think we probably have the same kind of forecast for this team. And if you have that core, like, I don't know, I guess at that point you just kind of have to decide like what's more important, you know, like building a team for the future that might be really good in 5 years, or just like celebrating Westbrook, having this team that's still really fun, probably a playoff team for the next couple of years, maybe get to the second round every once in a while, you know, kind of like a Memphis Grizzlies type team,
yeah.
but with a better star.
Yeah. And there's nine guys on this team right now that are under 25.
Right. So there's still a lot of internal growth.
There's a lot of growth that can happen. Like, we don't know like what the potential of a Cameron Payne is. We don't really even know what a potential of a Victor Oladipo is. I mean, that Orlando situation just hasn't been great for him. And he had an incredible second half of the season last year. And then Adams too. Like, we don't know what he's going to be like. We don't know Sabonis. Like, we don't, like, if he could be like a full-time four and ends up being like a really good, if he can end up being a really good player and a decent defensive player, like, he's got a lot of skills. Like, we just not, it's just hard to say.
I would just caution Thunder fans that, like, when we think of all these like hypotheticals about the Thunder's assets, we're like naturally inclined to think about the like best case scenario. Like, we're all assuming that Steven Adams is going to be like the Steven Adams that we saw in the playoffs, but better this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible he kind of just like stagnates for a year, because he probably did get a boost from playing with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. So I'm not necessarily expecting him to take like a huge, massive jump this year, even though I still do really like him. I think it might take them a while for these young guys to kind of settle into their new roles, and they might not be a good team until the second half of this season.
I think that Adams, because he's not, I don't know, I just think that his chemistry with Russ was probably a bigger deal than his chemistry with Kevin. I think Russ makes him very, very good and a big-time weapon. I think Adams is going to be really good, man. I think that his defense is something that I think will stick. And then, like, he has room to become a more of a focal point on offense, in which he was not at all last year. Because he's got good touch. He's got decent post moves. He's getting bigger. He's still super young. I think that he's going to have a really good year. I don't know. I can't envision him stagnating just because he hasn't done that at all yet. You know what I mean? Like, he's,
and by stagnating, I mean like he could be like a 10-10 guy this season. And I don't know if that would necessarily be what people were expecting going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I see him being Tyson Chandler, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I
feel like there's a large section of the Thunder fan base that is expecting him to like become Marc Gasol in the next couple of years.
Oh, no. No, I don't think that he's going to be like a 20-10 guy. Like, he just doesn't, he doesn't have that skill set. But I do think that he has a skill set that can help you on both ends of the floor. His passing is pretty good. It's probably a little overrated just because of that really good baseball pass that he threw in the playoffs. But he's good. He's solid across the board. I think that he will average a double-double and a couple blocks. And I think that like that's going to be great. Like 12, 11, two blocks. Like I think that would be great for a guy like him. And I think, you know, Russ is going to have to score a lot. Oladipo will score a lot. Cantor will score a lot. Cameron Payne will be asked to take a scoring load too. I mean, they have ways to fill in the gaps, obviously, with all those guys. But then your fringe guys are the question marks. The Abrinas, the Kyle Singlers, the Anthony Morrow, Irsan Ilyasova, like, what do those guys look like in this system? What do they look like playing with Russell Westbrook.
Right.
I just have no idea.
My biggest fear about this team is just how thin they are, which was kind of highlighted by the Cameron Payne injury.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously they're telling us he's going to be ready for the start of the season, and he very well may be. But, you know, looking back at history of Jones fractures, there's also a possibility that he is either out for longer or he comes back and just doesn't look normal for a few months.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at, like, Ronnie Price as your backup point guard.
Yeah. That's not great.
It's not great. But, yeah, I don't like the bench on this team. You know, the starting lineup, I'm kind of cool with at least those four main guys.
Defensively, you don't like the bench, right? Like, offensively, they could be good.
Yeah, okay, yeah, they could be good offensively, yeah.
Like, if you're talking about, a trio of Cantor, Payne, and Abrines.
Oh, my God, they're getting lit up!
Like, on paper, that they can score at ease, you know?
Yes, they should be able to.
Obviously, like, you're going to have to keep, like, Robertson on the court with them and Adams. Like, if you had a Robertson and Adams on the court with them, it wouldn't be a complete disaster. It would be a disaster, yeah, but not a complete disaster. And they'd be able to score at will because all those guys are smart offensive players.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree.
And I think, I mean, Billy Donovan's, I mean, he proved a lot in the playoffs, but he's got a lot to prove this season too. Because it's a completely different setup, and this is where he gets to really prove his coaching chops is with a team like this. Like, what can you do with this team? Like, can you make this team into a good defensive team? Can you find creative ways to space the floor? Andre Robertson's obviously going to have to be a really huge piece to this team. Like, are you going to use him as a power forward primarily on offense? Like, how are you going to use him? There's just a lot of unanswered questions with this team heading into the season. Even the starting lineup, like, are we convinced that Ilyasova is going to start? A lot of people think that, but I don't know. I don't think that he, like, deserves the starting spot. I don't even know how much better he is than some of the guys on the Thunder bench. I don't even know if he's any good at all. So
he's fallen off.
Just a ton of unanswered questions for me heading into the season. But yeah, the defense could struggle. The spacing could be bad, but I have no idea. Dion Waiters is not on the Thunder anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on how everything went down and then his current situation with the Heat?
I almost felt like I couldn't celebrate because because I was so far off on, like, what I thought he was going to get.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, the way he was going to leave was because he was going to get such a huge offer that the Thunder just, like, couldn't match it.
Right.
They just couldn't do it. And instead, the exact opposite happened. So, yeah. Like, yes, I wanted to take some joy in it, but I also had to acknowledge that I was, like, completely wrong about his value.
Yeah.
Because, when I saw that tweet that he was going to Miami for, like, 2.9, like, honestly, my first thought was, oh, not like this. I can't enjoy this. This is no fun. Like, this is just sad.
It was sad. Do you think it's because he has no value, or do you think it's because that's the team he wanted to go to, from your perspective?
I'm starting to think it's that he didn't have any value. Because I'm not sold on this, like, being the best place for him to be, other than the fact that he's, like, living in an awesome city and that the Heat are, like, a good, traditionally good franchise. But, I mean, they have a couple guys. You know, they have Tyler Johnson, who I like a lot.
Yeah.
They have who's the other guy, the young guy?
Oh, Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson, yeah.
Another young guy, a shooting guard.
Right.
So I think there's going to be some minutes for him at small forward because we've seen that he can defend larger players, and it sounds like they want to run Justice Winslow at the four a little bit more this year.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll get some minutes there, but you know, it's not as clear cut as if he had gone to like the Brooklyn Nets, where their shooting guard position is just a wasteland.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see him getting, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a night. You know, I look at this Heat team and I'm not convinced he's going to get that many minutes per night. And so I just don't know why this is like such a great option for him, especially going into next summer when a lot less teams are going to have huge cap space and the free agent class is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, I guess my thing with him signing with like the Nets or the Sixers or somebody like that is it just gives way too much room for Deion to take a role.
Be Deion?
To take a role that he doesn't need, you know, like he does not need to have the ball in his hands every possession. And that's where I think like Miami can be a good for his like reputation. Like he's still like, even though he had a good playoff run that should have like really helped build his reputation as a player, I just don't think it's really happened yet. And Miami's traditionally been a pretty good place to rebuild that rep. Like Hassan Whiteside just got a max deal for a guy that was playing in Europe a couple years ago. So I just think that they trust the Miami organization. There's been talks that he's been promised the starting spot. I don't know if that's true or not. But I don't know. I think that it would be a good spot. I don't know if they're a playoff team or not. But I just think that I just don't know that the Nets is a place to build a reputation for anything right now. You know what I mean? Like if he scored 20 points a game, like people would be like, it's because he's playing for the Nets. Like no, like we still don't know if he's any good. But if he plays in a structure and can like fit in and like play a role and play good defense within like a established defensive system, like I think that maybe it could help his reputation. He could get a decent payday next summer.
And honestly, if that theory is true, like that would show a ton of maturity on his part. Like choosing the team where he could excel as a role player potentially versus choosing a team where he could get the most minutes and get the ball the most.
Yeah.
So if that is the case, I mean, you may have just convinced me that it's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe he knew just from playing in Cleveland, which were really bad situations, and then LeBron came and it was just got weird. I don't know. But his reputation was just garbage.
Did you know there's a guy on the Heat named Rodney Magruder?
I've heard of Rodney Magruder. He was like on the Thunder Summer League team or something.
Yeah, he played for K-State. Magruder.
Yeah. That's a great name. One more thing from Alex. Alex has a hot take.
Bonus hot take.
Bonus hot take on the KD situation. Let's hear it. I have not heard this from anybody before.
So first off, as you know, I wasn't like terribly upset when KD left.
I know, but I text you and I was like, how are you? Are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. You're like, I actually like watching bad teams.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, great.
But I've been trying to think, like, why was I not more upset? And it's part of my hot take, which is that I think it would have been worse if Kevin Durant had chosen Boston or any other team for that matter. And this is my reasoning. If he goes to Boston, you don't see anyone on the news like blaming him and saying that he's not a competitor. You don't see anyone booing him in these Olympic pre-games. You don't see anyone on Reddit calling him terrible things, because like Boston's kind of like, that makes sense. He wants to go to the East. Like they've got a pretty good roster.
Yeah,
why not? But because he went to Golden State, 73 win team, the team he was up on 3-1, now everyone in the NBA hates KD. So we have this like this brotherhood now with other fans that we get to share in this hatred with. Whereas if he had gone to Boston, we would just been forgotten. We would have been alone in the wilderness. No one would have cared about our feelings. But because he went to Golden State, he is now like a national villain.
Yeah.
And I think there's something better about that. And honestly, I kind of like the way he went out, because he allowed himself to be that villain. Like he didn't write something in the Daily Oklahoman thanking the fans and telling them how much he's going to miss us. Like he just went out in the most like terrible, awful way possible, which is great for us as fans because we can just cut him off. And now we just cut him off completely from our lives. We don't have to reminisce about him. We can burn all our memories of him. And now he can be this villain for us. Like, I just think it's much more healthy.
It's much more healthy.
Yeah. Much more healthy when things are black and white. And things are black and white now. Because he's obviously a villain. Everyone else agrees with us. And it's much better than if he had gone to Boston.
Yeah. Because if you're right. If he went to Boston, everyone would be like, oh, it's because Oklahoma City sucks.
Yeah. And the argument that, like, Presti screwed this all up makes a lot more sense if he loses KD to a team like Boston.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're looking at him losing KD to a team like Golden State, it's like, I don't know. I mean, they're, like, one of the greatest teams ever. Like, how can Presti compete with that?
Right. He gets to see Draymond Green's wiener. I mean, how can you compete with that?
Yes, how can you?
This is a great theory. And he's going to get booed so hard.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it's going to happen at multiple places.
Yeah, some people believe that he's actually going to get cheered in Oklahoma City. And I just think that is the most out-of-touch take ever.
He's going to get booed on the street.
He will. He's going to get booed. People will boo just walking into a Golden State-Oklahoma City game in OKC. Like, they'll just start booing, like, automatically walking into the arena. Like, everyone's going to be so mad.
Yeah, it's like, would you rather KD have left and you get to boo him and you get to just, like be mad at him all the time? Or he goes to Boston, and honestly, like, if KD went to Boston, next playoffs, I'm probably, like, kind of rooting for Boston.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. That's no fun.
No, this is, like, the true fans' way of a KD leaving season, because it's just going to be pure rage.
Yeah.
For Durant. That's a good theory.
Great. So feel better.
Feel better, Thunder fans. It's a great way to end the podcast. Alex, thanks for coming on the podcast today. We can follow you on Twitter at AlBabyCakes. Follow us on Twitter at DCD Podcast. And look for more things from The Mule and more things from Anchor Down. We'll be handing out more prizes soon. So follow us on Twitter for those. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.